It is April 18th, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Oh, jeez, I wasn't ready.
Yeah, a little late to the jump. Thank you guys for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. Pouring, this might be the first liquor drink this house has seen in like over 2 years.
I feel like I should just smash the bottle on the side of the table and christen this podcast. Today we're talking about wild caught cod.
Yeah. Ooh. Have you ever had rock cod?
Nope.
It's delicious. It is very good. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure you guys leave a, I'm saying it backwards. Smash the like button, the notification bell icon, the subscribe button. If you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and or a review. We will read them live on the show. Do we have any from the past week? Probably not.
I'm going to say no.
Nope. It's been just absolutely tapped out. Copped out, capped out, and trapped out. And thank you guys for everybody in the trap. Speaking of which, Andy Watkins, Elliot Beaven, Jay Hennibal, Richard Gordon, Anthony Neitzel, Brittany S. Thank you guys for tuning in and joining us. And just, it's going to be a fun one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a laugh at my pain podcast tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to put it. There's a lot of positive going on with the team, right? It's not all terrible, but the sky does feel like it's not in free fall, but it maybe came a little bit closer over the weekend.
Yeah, I'd say that's not a bad way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's at some point it just has to stop, right?
Nah.
Like the bleeding has to stop at a certain point, right? No. Like I don't understand at what point does it end?
You guys thought those guys were dehydrated under De Boer.
Just under Heinze?
Oh, Heinze, yeah.
Yeah.
Pineda out here breaking bodies. Dude's racking up a body count.
What is he like?
Only way you're leaving this team is in a body bag.
Oh, I wish I had that on the soundboard from Karate Kid. Put him in a body bag. Yeah, it's... Yeah, he's... Does he make them like do their warm-ups in the walk-in fridge? Or walk-in freezer or something, just get as tight as possible and because it's all muscle injury. Well, I guess not. I was going to say it was originally. It seemed like muscle injuries, but
we got some people coming back, which is good. But now you've got bigger questions to answer that nobody thought. I mean, that's always the one that you rarely have to come up with an answer during the season is goalkeeper, right?
It's definitely not common.
You may have somebody go out for a game with a red or something like that, that you have to figure out a suspension the next game, but it's rare to see a season ending injury for your keeper.
Not just that, like just the freak nature of what happened. Did he even jump when that, did he even make like a little hop step kick the ball?
He hadn't even gotten to the ball. It was before the ball even got played back. He was coming out of the, out of the 18 and he went down before the ball even got back there. The ball was traveling back and he was already on the ground.
Yeah. That's so rough. And I know people are going to be quick to be like, it's the turf. It's like, I don't know.
No,
it's impossible. Like that's such a freak injury, but
he's in his 30s and we've all been there, right? You just wake up one day, bend over kind of different and pull your back. These things happen even for professional athletes.
When was Brad Guzan born? He was born
34?
In 80. He's 37.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 37.
He's three years older than I am.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of crazy to think about.
That's not that crazy to think that he just happened to misstep and broke his body.
Yeah, that's fair.
At a certain point. You're just flirting with disaster.
Just the amount of injuries that I have just walking around the house.
I was leaning on the refrigerator looking in this weekend. I was like, I leaned on the refrigerator door too hard, trying to lean in to find a snack. And I felt my shoulder pop. And I was like, this isn't good.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. I mean, I think we've all probably been there at this point, at least middle-aged people. I say middle-aged. Is 35 middle-aged?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore because of what?
I think average life expectancy has got to be at least 80 now, right?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I can't keep up with that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's really hard to look at him and Dylan Castanera both having ruptured Achilles, right?
Yeah.
So you have your first and third string goalkeepers both out for the season with that. You have Bobby Shuttleworth coming in and playing keeper. I think he's the starter, right? He has to be the starter coming forward. I know we called Justin Garces and one other kid up, maybe from Atlanta United too, or an academy player, and having them train with the
first
team. Real
bad time to not have Rocco in that lineup anymore.
It is, but I mean, I have been waiting for the Justin Garces transition since before he went off to college, because he was an Atlanta United academy player. It seemed to be, it's like, this is a position I could see him kind of developing into our first team starter, because the timeline's kind of lined up, right? You bring in Brad, he's 32 at the time, whenever we brought him in.
Yeah.
And Justin Garces is like 16, 17, goes off to UCLA, comes back, he's playing with Atlanta United too. I don't know if he's actually, I don't follow the twos very, very much. I don't know if he's actually even played any matches for the twos yet.
Speaking of the twos, Jackson Conway with a hell of a rip this past weekend.
Oh, I didn't see it.
A great goal off a volley. It was awesome.
Mm. I don't think we ever specified that he has to score a hat trick in MLS for Max Plays games to get a tattoo.
The hair tattoo, though, right?
Right, yeah. So if he scores a hat trick for the twos, Max still has to get that tattoo.
For sure.
And it's even better, the tattoos.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And it's actually a mullet tattoo in the base on the nap of the neck.
It's the curl of the two. It's the curl of the two, exactly. Right at the neck. Yeah, with that mullet.
Or you could also opt for the sideburn transition. We'll also allow that as it comes down.
Ooh, a curly sideburn? Has that been done before? Even without tattoos, has that been done before? Right?
I'm sure there's some Jewish guy that's done it, right?
Yeah. Matasiahu.
Yeah.
Matasiahu's probably done it before. I mean, I think we're trying out, I think Kendrick had said that in our Slack channel that I think Justin Garces and one other are coming up. But yeah, I mean, Shuttleworth has to be the number one, and then probably Garces is the two. I was just looking at Wikipedia, and Garces is technically an Atlanta United player, at least according to that. His squad is Atlanta United versus the twos. So
Anthony Neitzel says supposedly bringing in an American keeper from the Israeli league. I don't know who that is or where that had come from, but I did not see that. Saw a couple of signing rumors floating around
right after that. Josh Cohen from Maccabi Haifa, one of the only teams, them and probably Maccabi or Maccabi Tel Aviv. I guess Maccabi Haifa. He's 29, footballer of the year in the Israeli league last year. And yeah, he can be signed as a free agent in the summer.
Yeah.
So yeah. Justin Garces, and along with another yet to be identified keeper, is what Joe Patrick said during training today. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it sucks. We obviously wish the best for Brad Guzan, wish for a speedy recovery. But if you were to say, which I think it's a foregone conclusion considering the injury, season ending,
career ending.
That was going to be the next question.
I personally think it's got to be career ending. Then again, I mean, science has come a long way, right? I just
don't know, man.
You would think in a ruptured Achilles would be hard to come back from for anybody.
I mean, that's basically a ligament, right? I mean,
it's a tendon, right?
Tendon, yeah. Ligament, all those things kind of. That recovery time is just going to be so tricky, and I don't know how he comes back and is 100%.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Whenever you were already kind of talking about him potentially not being in the lineup with what you were, even with him taking a pay cut and everything else this season. Luckily, he does take the pay cut, so it's not like we have a huge salaried player that we're paying that doesn't get to play now.
I think we get relief too.
Well,
don't we?
I don't know how that works. And I think that Kendrick may have mentioned it, or somebody mentioned it on Twitter, is rather than putting him on IR essentially for injury reserve, what if he's released from his contract entirely and they have that very tough conversation with him following the operation that's inevitable this week and he's released from the roster altogether? Does that at least free up the roster spot this year? I would think so, but I don't know how all that works.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think, because we'll get into it, the Matthew Hoppe signing had brought up whether or not we need to free up a slot. And it looks like I think we still have one non-international roster slot that we can fill up. But yeah, there's no point. I would rather have the cap space. Let's see if you can follow my train of thought. If there's already one available position, and it's, I don't know how the cap relief works with an injured player. So if he's injured and we put him on IR, does that give us more cap relief, if at all, than releasing him? Because releasing him is just dead money, I think, because we have to, it's all guaranteed. I don't think you can just release a player and have that back on the, have him back. I mean,
Brittany S says that would be harsh. I agree. It is a harsh, but it's harsh, but it's a real conversation to have. Like, I mean, to your point, he's turning 38 this year. You know, how long do you keep him on the roster if he's healthy, much less knowing that he's got the injury and everything else? Ultimately, you're running a business, unfortunately. And if a player isn't contributing and you don't foresee him contributing for an extended period of time and your third string is out, you've got to free up somewhere in the lineup to be able to get somebody in to produce, because Shuttleworth goes out with a red. Campbell putting on gloves to get in goal? What happens? You know?
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I mean, I think it is a position I would not mind seeing us go after. I mean, if it's a 29-year-old who's a player of the year in Israel, he could probably be our keeper for the next however many years. Like, he could be the future of this team for, because at 29 years old, is still relatively young for a goalkeeper. But Will Baron asking if we've already covered the Josh Cohen goalkeeper rumors. Kind of don't know anything about him other than what's been said. Don't watch Israeli league. I think they maybe, I don't even know if they even play in Europe, but other question though, from Elliot Beaven in the trap, who takes the captain armband?
Yeah, I saw a few votes for Miles. I think that's a good one. Trying to think, I mean, at this point, your quote unquote veterans are few and far between in this roster and in this lineup.
I think Brooks Lennon maybe gets a shout.
Maybe Moreno.
Yeah, maybe Moreno. And then
I just think that there's a certain amount of
Santi Sosa, maybe.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of personality that you look for in the captain, not just seniority. And I think Miles is a pretty good vote for that. I think he's pretty calm headed. He's got the international experience. He's had so much tenure with this team over the past couple of years and certainly cemented himself within the lineup and the roster. I think Miles is probably the go-to, and I don't know. I mean, the others that would be behind him are probably a bit of a stretch. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Michelle is saying, I don't think Miles is vocally strong enough. Will Baron saying the same thing. Miles seems too quiet, probably Joseph. And that's probably the correct answer.
It would be Joseph if he's healthy, but we're still another 5-6 weeks away from that happening.
Right. So Pinedo would probably name him his captain, right? But then who's the vice captain at that point?
Right.
Haletto saying, Joey saying, give it to Gutman. I don't think that's actually a bad shout.
No.
Because I don't know that
especially the way he's been playing.
Right. I don't think that it necessarily has to be based off of tenure.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Especially the coach that's relatively new. That's why I don't think, I mean, Sosa, I don't think he's too quiet. I see him maybe as captain material too. But Brooks Lennon, I think, would be vocal enough. I don't know. I always struggle with like strikers being captains for some reason, because they're not seeing the entire field. They're not interacting with everybody the whole time. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
It's almost like you want a field marshal to wear the band.
Yeah. And that would have been Ozzie Alonso too. If Ozzie Alonso didn't get hurt, he probably would have been captain. So
absolutely.
Matt Wisniewski saying, I think we rotate Lennon, Miles and Gutman. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Gutman. Dude, what a player.
What a great, I mean, I said it last week, he's been the best defender. And during that game Saturday, he might have been the best player on the field all around. I mean, he was everywhere. He was creating chances. Unfortunately, he doesn't get on the end of two really, really great opportunities, one which he tries to lay off, which he should have just taken the shot on, and the other that he just, in his words, shit the bed on.
Why he's captain material. Yeah, doesn't pull any punches with the media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that hands down, he's been, like I said, Saturday, I think he was the best all-around player we had out there in general.
I think that's a fair shout. I know the ratings, like on SofaScore or whatever, who scored, don't really bear that out for some reason. Yeah. But I don't know. I still see that as being him being the best player that I saw, at least most impactful, probably.
Yeah.
Except for the second half from Luis.
Yeah.
Whenever he came in, it kind of changed things. Yeah. I mean, we didn't get...
Well, the whole lineup changed things. I mean, you bring him in, you bring Mulroney in. Who else were the subs there? We really rotated out for...
Dom Dwyer.
Yeah. Which, so, speaking of player rotations and lineup, Wiley getting his start this past weekend and really up to the task throughout his entire... run of play, I felt like.
His speed, it's not just even his speed, but his recovery speed, like whenever he was playing those balls to himself, essentially up towards the touchline to get those crosses in, both of the times that, and I can think of at least two times distinctly, where he dribbles past a defender or past the fullback on the side of the box, and you think, oh, he dribbled that out of bounds.
Yeah.
He gets clear of it like 6 inches from the touchline and puts it into the box in front of the keeper.
Now, all that is to say that Cincinnati was not a great matchup, I feel like. And this past weekend, I think it's that much more disheartening that Atlanta wasn't able to put a goal in on them, because they seem to have their way throughout the entire match, so much so that they even get the PK opportunity and can't seem to slot it home. So I don't feel like Cincinnati was maybe the best barometer to gauge Caleb Wiley's talents or ability, but he's certainly been up to the task so far. Whenever he has had minutes, he hasn't been a huge liability. Yeah. And I think that he'll grow and mature in that role the more play time he gets. And for the immediate future, I think you're going to continue to see that. And I think rightfully so. He's, like you said, he played really well. He had a great positional awareness. He had a couple of opportunities that he didn't necessarily take, but that he created for others around him that were just narrow misses. I think he had one of Almada's that shot that Almada had that just glanced off the left side of the put. I think Wiley dished that off to him, but I could be wrong there. But yeah, I thought that Wiley had a great match. I think the whole team as a whole, and I forget who said it, might have been Ryan Catanese, said that quote unquote hot take, even with the result. I think that was the best Atlanta United performance, better than some of the wins that they've had this season. And I think I would agree.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why you have to be happy sometimes winning ugly, because stuff like this is going to happen in MLS where you play such a great game and you drop 2 points off of it.
Yeah.
But if you get those ugly wins, where you're scrapping it out in the last few minutes of the game, that's going to set you up for success. I was relatively happy with the way everybody played for the most part. I think it's definitely, especially considering all the circumstances with players being out and just the
even players that I feel like I wasn't super hot on, I don't think Campbell necessarily had his best game. Again, have been kind of hot and cold on him throughout the season, but he still has one of the biggest defensive stops in the game when he comes and slides in to stop that shot right in front of goal inside the six, but he had a couple other times where he just got a little bit too far out of position, got past the midfield line, didn't know what to do, got kind of lost in the play and lost in the run of rotation, and then couldn't track back quick enough to cover on a quick counter. So I think some of that stuff maybe, but overall, like I said, he had other plays that made up for that he had huge defensive stops on. So,
yeah. I guess you have to take both sides of that coin, right? I mean,
what do you make of Franco not playing at all? Because is he injured? He's not injured, right?
No.
I wanted to make sure I didn't say something extremely stupid that he's injured, and of course he's not playing. But what do you make of him not even getting rotated in at all?
Hold on. Let me just double check that real quick, because I'm pretty sure.
The trap wouldn't know. he may have an injury, and I may be speaking out of turn. But yeah,
he wasn't on the bench either.
Yeah, so then maybe he is injured, and I didn't realize that. And it's just another addition to the injury list that continues to grow for the team.
Joe Patrick did mention something about him being in training today. So
he has an ankle thing. It came out today. Matt Wisniewski said, okay.
Okay.
So then that's much ado about nothing. That I thought it was a change that Pineda made in the lineup. So Michelle said she thought that he went off injured last game. And I seem to recall that he did towards the end of that, but that's been a bit. So, okay. Well, don't make too much of that then.
No, there's not much to make of that. I still like that combination of George Campbell and Miles Robinson.
I do too.
They definitely seem a little sturdier, maybe.
Yeah.
Granted, I would say, granted, they're playing against Cincy, but Lucho Acosta always gives us trouble. Brandon Vasquez was leading the race for Golden Boot in MLS. Yeah. I don't know if after Tati Castellanos put in 4 goals yesterday, I don't think that's still the case. Yeah.
Elliot Beeman said we played better without Franco, and I would tend to agree on defense.
But he's so good offensively.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's that.
Yeah. Emerson Heidman reemerged.
Had a couple of people. I mean, you mentioned it briefly. Aruju comes in.
Yep.
Haven't seen him in, what's it been, 7 weeks now?
Something like that.
7 weeks. So thought he had a great game. And Heidman, yeah, he gets to come back in. Hasn't played in, was it? Been 300 plus days since
It was like the beginning of, was it 7 games that we figured out? It was 7 games into last season he got hurt during training.
Yeah, so great to see him back. And I think that, again, we're gonna need these guys right now, especially rotating in. And aside from those healthy, I think the last sort of positional player that I have to talk about is Ronaldo up top. What do you think about?
I don't know. It seemed okay, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It didn't produce anything where I'm like, wow, why hasn't this? Again, I think that there's still that question mark on who's playing striker for the team. You know, I don't know if it's, I mean, that position seems wide open whenever it's not Joseph, right? Like, it could be Dom. It could be Conway. It could be Ronaldo. I don't know. I don't know who that person is right now. And every game I'm looking for somebody to step up and cement themselves into, okay, this is who we're going to have starting week in and week out. But I'll give it to Pineda. I mean, every week he's rotated them out for somebody else and given somebody else a shot to say, hey, go out there and earn it. And nobody's really stepped up to do that yet.
No, nobody has. Yeah. And to Tony Neitzel's point, he's saying the striker position continues to plague us.
Yeah.
But then in comes potentially Matthew Hoppe.
Maybe.
I don't know if you've watched him play.
I haven't, but I saw the rumors that he's...
I got very excited when I saw those rumors because I try to keep up.
Where's he at now?
He's Mallorca. Yeah. So he was at Schalke, made his debut, I think, two years ago, something like that. He was 18 whenever he burst on the scene at Schalke, scored a hat trick in some small amount of time, played really well whenever he's playing at Schalke, got transferred over to Mallorca the beginning for this season. I think he has something like 11 appearances. I don't even know if it's that many, but he seems to be kind of in purgatory over there.
Seems like you put I mean, if you can pull up somebody to backfill for Guzan's injury without splashing a ton of money on him like we're talking about, and then you can bring him in with the additional salary that you get kicked back that you can bring him in on, that seems like the most ideal situation that you can have, because again, we need to have somebody to backfill for Joseph, and we certainly need a backup keeper. Yeah. So
he four appearances in La Liga for Mallorca, and I don't think any of them are starts. Scored 6 goals as I guess he would have been about 20 for Schalke in the Bundesliga in 23 appearances. He's had 6 caps with the U.S. men's national team. I don't know. Tony's saying we don't have a spot for him. He wants to play for the national team. Not sure he wants to play as a sub when we're healthy.
Well,
if
is he playing as a sub when we're healthy? And for how long are we quote-unquote healthy? Is it for 20 games? I mean, is it for 15 games and then he's potentially the starter going into next season, depending on what happens with Joseph's contract? I don't know.
I guess we have time because we can't bring him in until the transfer window transfer window opens in Spain. Right. So that gives us at least 6 to 8 weeks. See if Joseph's at.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the more promising, to me at least, one of the more promising forwards in the U.S.
I think we've got to figure that question out. I mean, somebody asked about Elliot Beaven said, should we start Conway next game? And that's sort of my question to you is, who do you start in that forward position going into whether it's Chattanooga or next weekend's matchup?
Oof, that is tough. Araujo?
Up top?
Yeah.
Really?
Kind of mix it up, put Wiley out on the left, have Wiley, Almada, Marcelino Moreno, Araujo. I don't know. He's got a better scoring prowess than any of the forwards that we have.
That's true.
He absolutely is a terror for all defenses. I mean, against Chattanooga, though, yeah, I don't know.
Chattanooga, I mean, somebody had said, you know, they hope that you stick with Ronaldo just to see if he can at least find his form against Chattanooga. And to Tony's point, we're banking on Joseph leaving. I'm not banking on him leaving. I'm just not sure he's staying. I don't know how much more you get out of Joseph. And we talked about this last week, and I won't belabor the point. I don't know at his age and with his, I mean, it's been 3 years. That's something people don't think about. Like, it's been 3 years since he's been healthy. How many more years does he have playing in the league? And how many more years do you have him playing in the league, taking a DP position? I don't know how much longer you give that if he's not healthy. So I don't know. I'm not counting on him leaving, but I'm also not counting on him staying either. And I don't think that most of the fan base should necessarily hitch their ride to that either. Cause I don't know if the cost outweighs the product. Is that the right way to say that? The cost validates the product. Justifies the product. The product justifies the cost. That's what I was trying to say.
Joey Heletto asking, hasn't Jackson Conway been on a tear in USL? I don't. Mm-hmm. He has, right?
Yep. And he had that, like I said, he had a banger this last match, which was really great.
Yeah. Tony and I mean, Tony's agreeing. He's saying it's a hard subject.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a tough one for everybody, but that's the reality of the league, and players aren't here forever.
But I also don't know that he's a guy that's going to hang on to not just to be a shell of himself either.
No.
And I think he loves his team too much.
Yeah.
So Jay Hennibal asking, do you think we can get someone like Horvath on a discount since he's trying to crack the World Cup roster and needs minutes? I never even gave thought to that. And Tony kind of mentioned that with the Matthew Hoppe signing, that they're just trying to get into the World Cup for the U.S. men's national team. And during the summer, we're like one of the only leagues that plays. So, I mean, Lord knows we could use Ethan Horvath after what Zach Steffen did against Liverpool on Saturday. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting because Horvath is a very, very good, he would be immediately one of the best keepers in MLS if he came and played for us, but I don't know that we could afford to bring him in. I guess he said if he had a discount, but the discount would have to come at the detriment of Nottingham Forest, his team, and not him, I would think. But I don't know. Unless he's a free agent. I don't know if I would imagine he's only been at Forest for a year or two, I think. So yeah.
So a couple things unrelated to the team this past weekend that I feel like everyone knows in the fan base, but obviously sucks that we lost somebody that's such a big part of this fan base and this community and Archie and not being around anymore. And it was really great to see the supporter section chanting, "We ready," for the first like 3 or 4 minutes straight of the match, which was great. And they did a whole tribute to him and all that. So really bummed to get that news. But just as much as he was an important part of the fan base and what the fan base has been able to create here in Atlanta, another representation of that was unveiled this past weekend was the founding member wall that's been unveiled over by the soccer ball statue on the, I forget which side that is. It's on like the Home Depot side of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I didn't get to make it over there this past weekend, but I know that they did unveil it this past week. So 5 years in the making, finally unveiled the founding member wall. So
the little shots that I saw that looked cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little embossed. Yeah. Yeah. It's really terrible news about Archie Eversole.
Yeah.
It's just so
37, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
It's like at an instant and anybody's life can just be snatched from them.
Yep.
That's it's fucking terrible.
Yep. So anything else on the matchup this weekend?
I saw a lot of hate for Marcelino Moreno swirling around for whatever reason.
I think that's happening every week. I think it's just so been weird bubbling up, and I think it's consistently the case.
I mean, shouts to Alec Cann for stopping that.
Yeah.
Stopping that penalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was Jeff on the broadcast. So you were at the game. I was listening. This is the first time I think I've heard Jeff Lorenowitz do the color commentary. Mm-hmm. And just talking about the sheer strength that that Alec Cann had to like just punch that ball.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it wasn't a soft penalty that Moreno not hit. Not at all. Yeah. And just to shoot it out for a throw in.
Look, man, I mean, I'll give Alec Cann his due. Somebody sent it in the trap. I think he was out to kind of prove himself here, you know, that good he never really got the starting position and for better or worse. And I think that he at least stood up, had a standout game, got his first shutout of the season here in against his former club. So, you know, would have been great for Atlanta to get the 3 points, but we didn't. And, you know, like you said, good for him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know. The hate for Moreno is so surprising to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So I was talking to Igor at work, mm-hmm. our buddy Igor. And he, we're talking about Marcelino Moreno and he's like, he's just so weird to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that, because he doesn't look like he is clumsy. Skillful. Right. He's constantly looks like he's falling over. Yeah. Like he, and I wonder if that's what maybe, I don't know. He's not the most attractive player to look at in terms of play style. Yeah. He's a very good looking man though. do you remember, it reminds me of New Girl whenever they talk about like, I don't see guys that way.
Oh,
I don't,
yeah.
If your face became his face, would you be happy with it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Then he's,
exactly.
Then he's a good looking guy.
Exactly.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Yeah.
He's like drunken master.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That is a great analogy.
Yeah. That's, what was that guy's name in Tekken? It was in Tekken 3 they introduced a drunken master.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was a good game. Except I just would play the computer as Paul and just do the Phoenix punch and just one hit KO everybody.
There you go.
Yeah. I think that was definitely the cheap way out. No Eddie Gordo. Did you guys, do you have house rules playing those games?
What do you mean? Oh, that you couldn't
play certain characters you couldn't play with.
Couldn't play as Odd Job.
In 007, no Odd Job in our house.
Yeah.
You get extra points if you played as Jaws for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Oh, WCW versus NWO Revenge. No Goldberg. Because you can just string together infinite spears.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely no Odd Job in our house. That was definitely a no-no. That was probably the biggest house rule of any video game.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ones that competed. I feel like Yoshi was always a hot commodity in Mario Kart 64, right? It was either Yoshi or Toad were always the hot commodities there. So, but it wasn't like nobody could play with them. It was just always whoever could mash the
whoever get there quickest.
Yeah, whoever could work the stigmata on their hands from playing all the other games on Nintendo 64.
Oh, my God. What a horrible design.
Yeah.
What an absolutely horrible design.
Yeah. There's no reason why it's never been done since.
Yeah. And there's probably a reason why every single N64 controller that's out there has a broken analog stick.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's just limp.
Exactly.
Completely
Look,
limp.
Man, I'll give it to Nintendo. I mean, they every console, they were doing something different that nobody else was doing in controllers. Yeah. Like PlayStation controller now compared to PlayStation 1 controller, pretty much the same. Xbox, it's just half the size, but it's the same. Those old donk controllers that were massive. But Nintendo, every console, I feel like, has been completely different. Aside from NES to SNES, it's been completely different from Nintendo 64 to the GameCube to the Wii to the Switch. Like, it's constantly changing.
Kind of to their own detriment in a lot of ways. Yeah. Tony Neitzel calling out, we would definitely all play. You guys would play and I would get to watch. So, because you guys are all six years older than me. So I definitely wasn't getting a turn on those games back in the day. So it was always fun to watch you and Andy and Danny play video games. Yeah. And Turok. Turok 2. Oh my God. Oh, what a Turok, game. Yeah. What a game. That's great. Do you know anything about Chattanooga? We don't have, obviously, Dan's not here tonight. I didn't shout that out.
We're all edging for Dan. All edging for a download tonight.
Yeah.
Do I know anything about Chattanooga? Great city. A lot of fun. I got the Chattanooga Choo Choo that's down there.
They've got Lookout Mountain.
They've got Lookout Mountain, Ruby Falls. They do have the Moon Pie Museum, which is really great. Chattanooga Whiskey there. A couple great cocktail places downtown. Stir. Give them a shout out. That was really great. Yeah, that's about all I know about that. I don't know much about their club.
So they're in the NISA. They're in the National Independent Soccer Association. And to Jay Hannibal's point, they had a massive upset over Memphis. Well, he said Chattanooga upset Memphis in a big one. So I imagine he means an upset, because that is a... I can't keep up with these men's leagues. Third tier of American soccer.
Yeah.
So that's like, what is that?
Well, they're playing our third tier roster. So there's that. It'll be really interesting to see how it shakes out.
That NPSL.
You got to think that Atlanta is going to win, though. I mean,
yeah, at home too.
Yeah.
You would think.
Is it at Kennesaw?
Yeah.
Is
it? I'm fairly positive it's at Kennesaw. A fifth third. Yeah. Cause again, talking to Igor, he's saying it's like $25 tickets.
Nice.
To go to the game. Nice. And then Jay Hannibal saying they've never played an MLS club in US Open Cup. Wow. So hopefully we don't shit the bed.
Yeah, hopefully.
Gutman for a hat trick, right?
Gutman for a fucking hat trick. Yeah. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Wednesday other than to say we should win that game, much like we should win the game on Sunday.
Who is it Sunday?
Inter Miami.
Yeah, we should, but again, who knows, man? We should have won against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, what was our, not to be that guy, but what was our XG? Three. It was like over three, right? Our XG was over three. Alec Kahn stood on his head a good bit of it.
Not really, though.
You don't think so? I mean, I guess he saved the
PK, but everything else was pretty easy saves. I mean, his defense bailed him out of one or two. The shot that, I mean, Almada's glances out left. If he had hit that on frame, Kahn had that covered. It was a pretty easy save for him to make if he had to. Brooks Lennon's shot was like a pass that just went straight to him. Like, I don't think Alec Kahn had some crazy standout performance. I don't think that Atlanta United really took advantage of the chances that they did create. Gutman, again, we talked about, like, they got in position but then did nothing with it. And if you continue to do that against teams like Chattanooga and Inter Miami, it doesn't matter whether they're third division or bottom of the East, like you've got to put away those goals regardless of who you're playing, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. To Jay's point, saying that Miami just beat Seattle and they beat New England the game before, but Elliot reminding everybody that Seattle had Champions League last week too. So also have no idea how good New England is this year, because I don't think they've had a good season so far, right?
It's kind of crazy to see NYCFC at the bottom of the table.
I don't know. After yesterday, just absolutely drubbing RSL 6-0 at home. So
I was going to pull up the standings as it stands currently. Orlando sitting in second. Atlanta's still holding in there. I mean,
and fourth, right?
Yeah, and fourth. So yeah, DC United, NYCFC has jumped up. They were bottom of the table going into this weekend, but then they jumped up to 10th. So
Philly got their first loss of the season. Who did they lose to?
They lost to Toronto.
Toronto. That's right. That's right.
Lost 2-1 to Toronto. So yeah, like I said, I don't know what I would make out of either game. I think the Inter-Miami game is maybe a little bit more concerning than Chattanooga, but I think that it's good that this team has the game against Chattanooga to kind of get some things worked out. Hopefully come away with a result, even if it's one that they have to work a little harder than they may want to for, to go up against the MLS opponent this weekend in Miami.
Yeah.
Because that's away, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. So. Our last two games of April are away. Actually, I guess there's only one game technically still in April. Is that right?
Away to enter. Yeah, that and Montreal are both away. And then we're back on May.
Oh, Montreal's the 30th. Okay, yeah.
Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah, it's I mean, it's going to be a tough week regardless just due to the injuries that we have and just the depth issues that are kind of surfacing because of that.
Yeah.
To play two games and whatever that is, 4 days.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough on the team, but I hopefully Pineda's up for the task in squad rotation. Obviously, I don't think we can roll out a first team against Chattanooga.
No.
I know you want to win that game and you want to advance to get to the
you have to bring out, like, Shuttleworth is now first team. Like, he's got to come out and play, right? Arujo hasn't started since his injury. I think you've got to bring him out. I don't think he's got to play 90.
But
I think
you've got to start him. 65 minutes,
you've got to start him and set the intensity early. I think you bring in Caleb Wiley. I think you bring in Conway or Ronaldo. I mean, one of those two over Dwyer. I don't think that Dwyer is going to give you anything that you haven't already seen. Those other guys are still young and kind of coming into form, and Conway seems to be doing really well in USL. So maybe it is a chance to rotate him back in and see if maybe he's doing something a little bit differently now.
What about Ibarra? What about a guy like Ibarra? Do you bring him in and start him at the six?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't really had a whole lot of minutes this year. So I think that's another one. I think Heineman is a perfect game for him to start. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him starting. Ibarra there too, you know, maybe Heineman and Ibarra in midfield. I think that might be a solid way to go. Question is defensively, what do you do? I think maybe you give Gutman a break because you're going to need to lean on him in MLS play. But
if that's the case, do you stick Wiley back there then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then who do you put? I mean,
either that or you bring in Mikey Ambrose.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
because he hasn't had any minutes, and Gutman's played every minute of every game so far. Maybe that is what you do, is you bring in. Yeah, you need to keep him active in the roster, so maybe you bring him in because you don't want to risk injury to left back. With everything that Gutman's been contributing, that's the last player I want to see go out with an injury right now.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you see somebody like, maybe not, because I don't know if Bryce Washington has been making the, did he make the squad this weekend? I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull that back up, the lineup sheet. I don't think he did, but do you see someone like Alex DeJohn maybe getting a shout at center back?
Maybe.
On Wednesday?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think Bryce Washington was in the 18, but, I mean, Alex DeJohn was there.
Ronald Hernandez.
Yeah, you can see him on the right. Probably see Jake Mulroney up front. Tyler Wolf will get reinserted again into
the
lineup.
Yeah, I think Mulroney is an obvious choice to start for Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one there. And I think he would maybe start over Lennon.
Yeah, so I think you see Conway up. So back four is probably Wiley. I would say Alex DeJohn and George Campbell maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe give Miles a break.
Yeah.
Midweek. Play Ronald Hernandez outright. And then you have Ibarra.
Heineman.
I don't. Asadich probably too, right?
I don't know.
Play a 4-3-3? No, it's probably a 4-2-3-1 again. Yeah. So it'd probably be Ibarra and Hyndman in the middle. Yep. Left, Mulroney.
Yep.
Who plays for Moreno, though? Does Moreno play?
Or Wolf?
Tyler Wolf, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if Pineda will upend the entire roster. Maybe Moreno does play and you pull him out. I mean,
yeah.
You'll have some squad rotation. I don't, it's never a full squad change for these games, you know. And I think somebody said, like, who from the first team do you see really staying in? Maybe
that's Caleb Wiley.
Easier question.
He's a first teamer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, though, like, do you see him maybe getting a death grip on a starting position for the rest of the year?
Maybe. Maybe. First team starters, I think Araujo, Moreno, Wiley.
George Campbell.
Campbell.
Shuttleworth. Yeah. All these new first team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's half of the lineup. That's five.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah. And I don't know if you see, I don't know if maybe you see somebody like, Dom Dwyer come in maybe on the left side. I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be fun though. It will be fun to see these guys kind of,
the Open Cup games are so much fun to watch for that reason, which maybe the Trap knows. Are they going to stream it on AtlantaUnited.com? That's what they normally
usually do. Yeah. I would think so. I don't know though, for sure. So, let's see. U.S. Open Cup. Casting.
Score predictions for Chattanooga?
4-1 Atlanta.
I'll say 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0 Atlanta.
Let's see. Atlanta.
What's the Trap say for Chattanooga? And then we'll turn our attentions to Inter Miami for the weekend.
3-1 Atlanta from Brittany S. I'm trying to pull up the broadcast. How to watch. I would imagine it's on. I guess I can just go to atlutd.com. It'll probably tell me there.
Yeah. I would assume it's going to be on ESPN Plus. It's where it's been in the past, is on one of those two, if not on both. So 2-0 Atlanta for Tony Neitzel, 4-0 Atlanta for Elliot Beaven, 2-0 Chattanooga will give up a fight, though, from Jay Hennaball. 10-1 Atlanta from Richard Gordon. It's going to be on ESPN Plus and on USA. Really? On USA? Are you for real? That's ridiculous. There's no way.
Huh.
There's no way that's going to be on USA.
Well, they play Premier League on USA.
But Open Cup?
Yeah, right after.
The first round?
It'll be right after White
Collar. Fourth round or whatever.
Right after White Collar? Yeah, right after White Collar.
In between White Collar and Bones. Mm. US Open Cup.
Rest.
Atlanta United versus Chattanooga FC.
Rest in peace, Willie Garson. It says
Aleto, 3-2 Atlanta. I don't believe it's going to be on USA. I'm not buying that.
So that's what FOTMOB says.
Wow. Not buying it. It's going to be blackout for us. It'll be USA for the rest of the country.
I switch VPNs and that blackout is no longer in play.
There you go.
And I don't have to pony up another $60 or whatever it is for. You know what's crazy is like the cable, which you know because you subscribe to cable, like the broadcast fees are basically as much as the cable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Okay, I get 125 channels for $25. You get these three channels for $19.
Yep.
On top of it. So
yep.
Yeah. These three channels you can get over the air on an antenna.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I switched to cable. I don't know what else the options are anymore. I haven't looked back since I did. You know, I don't have to worry about being able to catch the games anymore. If they're on TV, on Bally Sports or whatever, I've got them.
Yeah.
Until Sinclair Group figures out their shit and YouTube TV isn't $75 a month and there's 10 different Hulu live packages and all that shit. I'm done with it. I'll just stick with my $65 cable subscription with DVR. And if I don't catch the game, it's recorded. And if I can watch it live, it's there, you know, and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
I have a pretty good combo now. It's only $8 a month.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get the away broadcast.
Yeah.
with the Atlanta United game. So
yeah.
Jay Hennaball said, I'm glad I switched to cable, least uttered words in 2022. Yeah. I think more people are going to probably migrate back to cable.
It's yeah. I don't know what other options people have anymore. All of the reasons for cutting the cord 4 or 5 years ago no longer exist. All of the other outlets that were around for a fraction of the price have been priced out of the market through negotiations and everything else with all of the broadcast networks, that the prices that they could offer those services for no longer are available.
I don't know how Bally is still making enough money at this point.
I don't either.
Because they're only available, I guess I shouldn't, I mean, I'm guessing they're available all over cable networks, but the only streaming service they're available on is DirecTV Stream.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's even more, like, that's like $80 a month.
Yeah. No.
So
it's just like the subscription services. It's at a certain point, there's just too much.
Yeah.
I mean, Paramount Plus and Peacock and everything else that's out there. It's like, come on, man.
Mm.
I can't justify it for one show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little tough. That said, the Apple, I would say Severance is worth the $4.99 you'll pay for a month of Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
It's some of the best TV I've seen in years and years and years. It's a very good show.
Nice.
Yeah, you need to watch it.
Is that an ultimatum that you're giving me?
Yeah.
Are you giving me an ultimatum right now, too?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna have to watch TV with I'm gonna record a podcast with another friend for a week, and then I'll decide. And then we'll record this show.
But will it be rememberable?
And then I just want to be seen.
I just want it to be rememberable.
I want to be heard.
Yeah.
I want to be seen, and I want to be heard, Tim. Yeah. What else we got?
Yeah, Chiefs coach Steve saying Hulu Guide shows Law and Order Wednesday night on USA. Shocker.
Yep. Not surprised there.
What do you think has more reruns these days? Law and Order or The Office? Or Triple D? Which one do you think has
Chopped?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good call too. I think Chopped is like the Food Network's Walt Disney. Like, it just comes on between like midnight and 3 a.m. They just play back to back to back to back Chopped.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's when you knew it was time to go to bed as a kid, when Walt Disney would start playing.
No, when Nick at Night would come on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, because Nick at Night would come on, and then you would just go over to Cartoon Network, which was when all the Toonami stuff and Adult Swim would come on.
Yeah.
So
there was some good stuff on. I got hooked even as a kid to watch
Monsters?
Brady Bunch.
Oh, I got hooked on Monsters, man. We used to watch that every morning before school. We used to watch Monsters every morning before school.
Oh,
knock off Adam's Family. Yeah. How did that not get sued for copyright infringement?
I have no idea, dude. I have no idea.
That was, I never thought about that until now, about how the hell did they get away with that? That was the Addams Family, but just...
Which one came out first, Addams Family or Monsters?
I don't know.
Hmm. And then Coach Steve saying ESPN Plus shows the game not blacked out, but I think it shows it not blacked out usually until the day of, so keep that in mind. But it might be because it's a local broadcast and not with Bally that it's not blacked out. I don't know how all that stuff works. I know it's a outmoded TV model.
Yeah.
Shit, what were we just talking about?
Toonami, TV, Monsters, Law and Order, SVU.
Yeah.
Ultimatums.
Oh, yeah, Ultimatum. That show just makes you feel terrible. It's just...
real good quality.
Just a really fucked up TV show.
It is, man. It's
like really messed up.
It is.
Like, they went from doing Feel Good, Love is Blind, those two seasons, to doing, we're going to screw some people's lives up.
Or did they make them better? Were they screwed up and then they got better from being more screwed up? It's like you got to burn them down to the ground so that they can build back stronger.
Yeah, slash and burn farming.
Exactly.
I get it. Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah, turn them and burn them. Yeah.
That's it. That's what you got to do. Adam's Family's Older.
Yeah, Adam's Family's Older.
All right.
You got it. Peachtree TV, does that still exist? Is it going to be on Peachtree? Oh, that's right. It was on Peachtree TV.
You're talking about reruns. That's just Shakespeare going against Nick all around Atlanta.
That followed by King of Queens.
17 Florentine plays in Buckhead. Solomon Brothers is where it's at.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know that I have much else to discuss.
I don't either.
Inter Miami.
Oh, yeah. Score prediction for Inter Miami. I'm just going to throw a number out there. I'll say 1-1.
I will say 2-1 Atlanta. 1-1 Atlanta or 1-1 Miami?
So it'll be 1-1 Miami at the half. But then I think it finishes 1-1 Atlanta.
So stupid. See what happens when Dan's not here to guilt us into not doing this.
I know. Brittany.
I like that. Tony Neitzel calling.
The Piggly Wiggly of networks.
Peachtree TV is the Piggly Wiggly of networks.
It is.
Meanwhile, what's the... what's the one that plays all the old ass reruns?
Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, Winn-Dixie. Whatever that is the Food World or the Winn-Dixie of television.
Richard Gordon, 2-1 Atlanta. Jay Hannibal, 0-0 draw. Steven Perales, 2-1 Atlanta. Elliot Beaven, 2-0 Atlanta. And Richard Gordon also echoing your love for Severance and that the finale was crazy.
Yeah. It's a good show.
Heleto 4-0 Atlanta. Wow.
Did you get Brittany S 2-2 draw?
Yes.
I think she has a 2-2 Atlanta. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's the only difference between our predictions, really.
We should call Dan. Try to wake his ass up.
Is he sleeping?
I don't know. I just assume because he's like 45 years old.
I'm going to FaceTime him.
55 years old.
Isn't that aggressive to just FaceTime somebody without warning them? Yeah. Is it more aggressive to do it while you're in the bathtub or no?
I could speak from experience.
Is it more aggressive to get FaceTime by somebody in the bathtub or to FaceTime somebody and find out that they're in the bathtub and they still answered?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know.
See if he answers.
Dan, he's at the cheetah.
What's your score prediction for Dan answering? I'm going to say 0-0. It's definitely not going to answer. He won't answer a phone call from me or a text from me unless it's in our group chat. So there's no way he's going
to answer. Because he loves me more. Yeah,
there's no way he's going to answer a personal FaceTime. Just rude.
It is rude.
Nothing. Unavailable.
I'm trying to look at what the wood is on the top of this.
I don't think it's wood, Tim. I think it's just fake plastic.
It's a veneer, if nothing else.
Yep.
And it's meant to model a certain type of wood.
Cherry.
I think
this is great audio.
Yeah, it is great audio. Yeah, I don't know. That looks kind of like oak. Like somebody stained some oak.
All right, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. Be sure to tune in next time. Maybe Dan will be back. Be sure to go yell at him on Twitter. Yell at all of us on Twitter. At Home Before Dark, that's before spelled being the number 4. Find us personally. Yell at us more. Find us on Instagram. Yell at Tim while he's not doing any woodworking the past month or two. Where can they find you?
You can find me at Tim Herb on Instagram.
Find me as well at The Architect. It's at @_ARC, #1TECT. Be sure to like and subscribe. Hit the bell icon on YouTube to get a notification each and every time we go live. And we'll see you next time. As always, be home before dark. Something, something in a British accent.
Something about Will Smith and Miami. Slapping him.
We're going to slap him.
Meanwhile, Brittany just posted a slap emoji. It's a wave emoji. All right. Good night, guys.